Hi, Dee. How are you today?
I'm good, my darling. How are you?
Just wonderful. I'm so grateful for you taking the time to talk with us.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me on.
Well, congratulations, first of all, on a pretty impressive achievement. 200 film credits. You've been a busy woman.
I have been busy, and I like it that way. But it makes me sound very old, doesn't it?
Well, unless you look at your picture and say, whatever you're doing, it's working for you.
Oh, I tell you, you've got my heart already. Thank you.
Well, you've got a busy year and a lot of things going, and I want to cover some ground here, but can we go back to the beginning of the career? You did a lot of great TV in the early days. There's Streets of San Francisco, which I loved, Starsky and Hutch, Lou Grant, one of my favorite series with David Hartman, Lucas Tanner. You were everywhere in television for a while there.
I did a lot of TV, and I was, for years, I was kind of the queen of movies of the week. You know, that was back when they were all very dramatic, and women were always in peril in one way or another. Now we're FBI agents and presidents and secretaries of state, but back then it was, you know, and I think my vulnerability and my ability to do some good emotional work really opened up all of that for me.
How big a boost was it, and how much did your life, both professionally and personally, change when you teamed up with Steven Spielberg for E.T.?
You know, people ask me how my life changed. I have to say, you know, I was raised in Kansas, and you can take the girl out of Kansas, but you're never going to take Kansas out of the girl, baby. Not the way I was raised. So I was always taught to be very, you know, humble and live in gratitude. So it didn't change my life a lot, but it definitely changed me and the business. You know, people knew me. They trusted me. I had a pedigree then that they could just call and go, gosh, we'd like to offer this to the so it certainly helped in that area a lot.
Was there any sense when you were making that movie that this would become one of those films that generations would embrace forever and ever?
No. And I don't think anybody ever really thinks about that when we're doing a project. We knew we had a special script, obviously a special director. But there's so many things that go in, first of all, to making a hit, the marketing, the timing. Is the public ready for it? You know, are they going to embrace it? And, but it's a whole other thing to consider the fact that you're doing the new Wizard of Oz for the next, you know, 100 generations to come.
And now you also did Cujo, special to us because our station is owned by Stephen King.
Oh, I love Stephen King. I love you, Stephen. That's my favorite movie of everything that I've done. That's my favorite. I think I gave everything I had to that role. And I it was a real honor for me to be able to bring her to life.
Well, and that's another film that at the time it did pretty well. It got decent reviews, but it's taken on this whole new life now as a cult classic. It just maybe was ahead of its time. People appreciate it much more now.
Well, that's okay with me. Bring it on. I think the fact that any animal might be harmed or it's a negative connotation about animals. We're very sensitive to that, you know. And for me, Cujo was always about a mother's love and what a mother would do for her kid. And that's one story I know really well.
We're talking with Dee Wallace here on Downtown. One of my favorite films of yours, and what an amazing cast was assembled for this. You worked with Peter Jackson as well. I love The Frighteners.
Thank you, and it's so underrated. I keep saying they should bring it back out and bring it out at Halloween. I think it would be a hit all over again. I had an amazing time working with Peter and the cast and that boy. What some brilliant performances. And that part is exactly, it embodies everything I love to do, that huge emotional arc where she starts out as this skimpy little victim and ends up to be this, you know, cold-blooded murderer running around with a machine gun, right? So for an actress, it's heaven to get a part like that.
You've also in recent years done some work in daytime drama. We've talked to so many people from Bryan Cranston to John O'Hurley who worked in daytime dramas and said few things test your mettle as an actor as much as doing that kind of work.
Oh, my God. Scariest thing I've ever done. Literally. Scariest thing I have ever done. I came home the night. Well, actually, I got the script, you know, like the week before, and I called my agent. I said, is there any way I can get out of this? I feel the death. Do you know how many lines there are? And he started laughing. He said, Dee Wallace, you live by being challenged. This is your next challenge. And I was so glad that he counseled me through that, because I grew so much as an actor after doing that.
Well, you've got so much going on right now. By my count here, four films either about to come out, coming out soon, in the works. Await the Dawn, Critters Attack, Three from Hell, and Renovation of the Heart. Let's start with Three from Hell. What was your experience like working with Rob Zombie?
Well, this is the third picture I've done with Rob. I adore him. Not only as a director, but as a person. I think he's a creative genius. And I pretty much any actor that he's ever worked with, if you ask them, they'll just say to you, if Rob calls, I'll go. Because we just have so much fun, a lot of freedom. And so I love working with Rob. Let me tell you, it's probably the ugliest part I've ever done. And every day I go home, I went, oh, my God, you really didn't go that far. You really didn't do that, did you? So I can tell Rob Zombie fans, you are not going to be disappointed in this film. It's classic Rob Zombie. Critters Attack, I did for Warner Brothers. It's going to be out. And, oh, Three from Hell will be out in September. Critters Attack will be on Sci-Fi in October, and I got to go to beautiful Cape Town, South Africa, to shoot it. Just so stunning there, and we just had a good time. Love Bobby Miller. He's a new director on the horizon, and I think he's going to be around for a long time. Again, really nice guy. Await the Dawn, I don't have a release date yet. We just finished it about a month and a half ago. It's a very interesting script, which is a combination of sci-fi and horror. And it's a different type of material and story than I've ever done. And I got to work with my daughter, Gabrielle Stone. That's the other thing I'm immersed in, by the way, is my daughter's book just came out, Eat, Pray, FML. Available on Amazon, and for anybody that's ever been challenged in any way in relationships and getting your power back and knowing who you are, go pick up this book. You will thank me forever.
Well, yeah, I wanted to talk with you about that. You have to be such a proud mom with the work your daughter has done, both as an actor and now a writer.
And a director.
Right.
She just directed me in her second short, and she's getting ready to direct her first feature length. I am beyond proud, because she has had a lot of heartbreak for her little 30 years. A lot of heartbreak, especially around male relationships and abandonment. Her daddy died when she was not quite 7. And the love of her life early on was killed in road rage. And then you have to read the book. I mean, I have some of my healing clients call me and they go, oh my God, we laughed, we cried, I finished it in 2 days, I didn't even sleep. So you're going to love to read, but you're also going to go, my God, how did she ever get through this? And that's the great part of the book, is that it's helping men and women, which we were kind of surprised about. But we've gotten emails from even guys saying, wow, you know, I learned a lot about relationships and what I don't want to do with my lady. And yeah, it's crazy. Crazy when you just write the truth, you know, people find it. Eat, Pray, FML, Gabrielle says. And then Renovation of the Heart is a beautiful little family film that I got to do back in my hometown of Kansas City. And it will be out in January. So, yes, it's been a very, very, very busy year, and I like it that way.
Well, and on top of everything you've done as an actor, you also work as an author, a radio host, a healer, a motivational speaker, and a wonderful website, imdwallace.com. Can you talk a little bit about how people take care of self? And you talk a lot about the importance of that. And is it true that to be in any kind of relationship, whether it's a romantic or friendship, any kind of personal relationship, you have to take care of yourself first and foremost?
You bet. You have to create a loving relationship with yourself. You know, when I teach this, I say to people, who do we want to give everything to? The people we love. And usually we're at the end of that list. And we're just taught. Our parents have been taught that. Our grandparents were taught that. It's not humble. God's not going to love you if you're self-centered, and that's not the kind of love I'm talking about. I'm talking about the kind of love that God has for us, right? And we're made in the image and likeness of, and by golly, we've got to start loving ourselves more, honoring ourselves more, claiming our magnificence so that we are responsible for the creation of our own life. You know, people laugh because I spend half of my life doing horror films and being in fear, and the other half helping people heal from their fears. But it works for me. It all makes sense to me.
Well, I think sometimes our human nature is to feel like, oh, I'm being selfish if I put all this focus on me. But it's hard to give to others if you haven't taken care of yourself first.
You bet. You bet. And to thine own self be true, you know. I would also like to invite people to go on YouTube and watch my TED Talk. Just put in Dee Wallace TED Talk and you'll find it. Because it's all about, people don't realize that the way we see ourselves in the world and the way we see the world seeing us, as our value, that's completed our brain by 7 years old. From conception to 7 years old, we complete that. And so if you want to answer the question of, gosh, I want to do this, but I just can't seem to. Why can't I get myself to take the step, blah, blah, blah. It's because your little child is fighting you tooth and nail from the incorrect limiting beliefs that we're given when we're young. And I use a lot of personal examples in this TED Talk. I have a lot of product on my website helping people traverse finding all of these kind of hidden little beliefs. Like, you know, I was raised in Kansas. We were very poor, very religious family, a Methodist family, and my grandmother used to say to me, Deanna Lee, you don't need any more than you need. So don't be asking for everything. You just take what you need. And it took me a lot of my adult life to figure out that I really needed to go to Hawaii once a year. So, you know, I think we just have to let it get to ourselves. And the more we do that, the fuller we are to give to everybody else.
It's a great philosophy right there. Dee Wallace, it's such a treat to talk with you. I've been a fan of your work for such a long time and excited to learn more about this other work that you're doing. I love the website. Again, it's imdwallace.com. Watch for those new films coming out. Congratulations on 200 film credits. We look forward to many more. And again, thank you so much for making time for us.
Oh, you bet. Thank you, and have a glorious day.